Republicans have proposed passing a temporary funding bill while they worked out their remaining differences with Dayton, but he said it was very disappointing. The last government shutdown was in 2005 when Tim, this is good news, when Tim Pawlenty was governor.
Now he's running for president.
Now he wants to be president. Ah, well, maybe he's changed. And residents are already feeling the impact there. And what a weekend to do that now. It's just like we were talking about, the federal government shuts down everything. You know, the parks and rec departments are closed. You can't even get to a park. You can't go camping.
That's why he did it right then, because here's what happens when the government shuts down. A week goes by and the citizens realize, you know what? We really don't need these people.
We don't need any workers.
That's why he did it right before 4th of July weekend, so that they'd feel the pain at the parks. Because this is what's going to happen in a month. They're going to shut the federal government down.
I don't think that's going to happen. And do you think that's going to happen?
I hope so. It's time to draw a line in the sand.
Well, yeah, but let's have some compromise. That's what it's all about. There's too much division.
No, you can't
too much
compromise.
Division.
They've been shoveling money out the door
for
2 years.
We have things to pay. We have things to pay, and we have to pay them.
Okay.
We have to pay
those. By cutting spending.
Cutting spending to begin with.
You can't keep raising taxes. It's not a bottomless
pit out there. We have to pay our debt. We have to pay our debt.
That's not how you do it. You end up getting more taxes by cutting them anyway. Every time they do it, they cut the taxes, they end up with more revenue.
You sound like a Republican to me.
I am. Well, I'm not really a Republican, but...
You know, speaking of money, I spoke with Steve Ossie this week. He's our financial guru, co-host of Nevada Matters, and he had his own opinion on what was going on this week. Okay, Steve, now that I got you on the line, it seems like it was a pretty good week in the market. What is going on now?
Yeah, it was. It was our fifth straight day up. Today was on stronger manufacturing data. It's been the best week in nearly a year, and it's likely also because of the Greece issue is fading somewhat to the background.
Well, you know, you've talked about that before, but are they bailing out Greece, or is the bank bailing them out?
Well, you've hit the nail on the head. What's really happening is that by the government's loaning money to Greece, they're bailing out the banks because the banks hold the debt. If Greece were to default on their payments to the banks, and then the banks collapse. So it's really more concerned about the banking crisis in Europe. I was originally blaming the Greeks for their situation, thinking much like we had in our loan crisis when banks were accepting here in America liar loans. You didn't have to prove income, no down payment, and whatnot. And a similar situation there. Greece sort of fudged it to get into the EU with ridiculous vacation structures and absurdly generous pensions, excessive government spending, and tax evasion is high. So with all that, who would lend to them? The European Union and the banks turned a blind eye and let them in. Banks are supposed to figure out who's creditworthy and who isn't, just like with our home crisis. You know, I think if they messed up, they should take the consequence for it. But I guess, like with us, they felt that the banks were too big to fail. So the right course might be to let the banks take the lumps, but the whole Greek thing is just kicking the can down the Roman road, if you will, because they really haven't fixed the underlying problems. Their people have become socialists, and they want the government to take care of them. And we still have Portugal and Italy and some other countries in a similar situation. So with all the socialism in Europe that's not working, I don't know why we're so attracted to what I call Obamalism.
Yeah, well, I'm sure glad we're far from that. So if Greece is fading away, then what are they going to focus on now? Is it going to be the debt ceiling or what?
Yeah, I think so. The continuing obsession in the market now will be the debt ceiling on August 2nd. We're supposed to run out of money on August 3rd. Understand we have about $23 billion in Social Security checks that go out to about 50 million people. And on the 4th, we have $90 billion of debt that rolls over. So I think some of this is fear-mongering by the president and the Democrats. Peter Morici, a guy, a professor at the University of Maryland, who I read his stuff in the Wall Street Journal, he said, there are other options. He says that we could probably pay the interest in our debt and our Social Security, Medicare, and our defense spending out of just tax revenues this time and roll over the bonds. Or secondly, we could just print money if they can't reach an agreement or sell treasuries from a very large portfolio. Printing money would have some other negative implications, but we could get through this thing. But they'll probably raise the ceiling. Republicans will demand that we cut cap and balance. That's become a new phrase, meaning cut expenses, cap the spending, balance the budget. The Republicans are holding tight right now and trying not to raise taxes or the ceiling, or if they do so, making sure they have guaranteed spending cuts. There is a backdoor way for them. They could get rid of certain tax breaks like the home mortgage deduction and other tricks that would increase the tax revenue to the government, and that may happen, and they could do all that and say, well, we didn't raise taxes, they just cut some of the deductions. I said last week a couple of Republicans stepped out of the debate because they weren't getting anywhere, and that would draw on the president, and it has. And Republicans want to force spending concessions. They've identified some $1.3 trillion in cuts. Some of them are in agricultural subsidies, which have been sort of a sacred cow, and student loans and rural health programs. And it's probably going to affect the Republicans more than the Democrats because the rural areas tend to be more conservative or Republican-oriented. So Washington goes on as usual this time, thanks to a new batch of Republicans, though, elected in 2010. They seem to be more serious about cutting spending and capping taxes. I interviewed Senator Heller a while back, and he said he did feel a new spirit there. So anyway, the market bounced off of a very predictable level I talked about last week called the 200-day moving average. I wouldn't make a big commitment to the market until we see the S&P can break 1344, where it's tried and failed about five times. If people would like, I encourage them to go to my website at steveossie.com, and they can sign up for my newsletter.
You know, back to entitlements, kind of, it's making me feel like I want to sign up for Social Security early just to get some of the money they owe me, because it doesn't seem like it's going to be there later on in life.
Senator Joe Heck called it a Ponzi scheme, and it certainly is just that.
Yeah.
Will it
crazy.
Be there for us? Who knows?
Yep. Well, that's steveossie.com once again. Now I want to get to your thoughts on the presidential candidates. Do you have time for this today, Steve?
Yeah, sure. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about Romney and Bachman. Romney is running against the president. He's not really running against his other Republican contenders. He's not talking about his opponents. He's assuming he's the lead and the front runner. Three thoughts on why he's not going after Michelle Bachman. Maybe A, he's hoping that she'll shoot herself in the foot with some gaffe, or B, Bachman currently is sucking all the air out of the other candidates' press attention, and they may not be able to raise the funds they need to run with. Or maybe he's leaving her alone because he sees her as a good vice presidential candidate for him.
Kind of like what McCain did.
Yes, huh? Mm-hmm. He also supports the cut, cap, and balance pledge. Bachman is doing well. She's a serious contender. One poll had Romney on top. Governor Perry, of all people, who I hear a lot about, as second, even though he's not even announced, and Bachman is third, but they're all in there. It's too early to call. I like Bachman because of my Tea Party roots, but a Romney-Bachman ticket might just have the broad appeal to most conservatives and independents and might make a ticket that would be very strong against Obama.
It seems to me, though, that she wants the whole thing. Bachman wants President Bachman, not Vice President.
Well, you bet. But if we get nearer to the primaries and she sees that she's not going to make it and she throws support behind Romney, they would for whoever wins, then he might then name her vice president. But you're right, she wants to be president.
Well, what do you think about the Palin-Bachman ticket? Is that funny?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I know in President Obama's conference this week, do you think he sounded more like a candidate than he did a president?
There is no primary on the Democratic side. He does sound like a candidate, and he's sure pushing the class warfare card. Mm-hmm. He's talking about raising taxes on the oil companies that could reduce oil exploration, could increase gas prices, and keep us dependent on people that give us oil that hate us. He's opposing itemized deductions for the rich, and that could lead to the loss of the mortgage deduction. And this is the wrong time for that, right? When housing is worse than it was during the Depression and in terms of values. The wealthy will move away with their money in states that have raised taxes. Many rich people and companies have just moved to nearby states to avoid that, and the same thing could happen on a federal level. It's a big reason why a lot of companies have outsourced their manufacturing and much of their operations outside the U.S., and why a lot of wealthy folks have their money offshore because of less taxation and less regulation. And a lot of American dollars are out there someplace. And besides all that, who ever got a job from a poor man?
Yep.
Or women.
Well, I read this week that Amazon is cutting ties to the 10,000 small firms in California because California has imposed taxes on internet purchases.
You know, kind of amazing. Many times when you buy from Amazon, they actually ship and they're from a small vendor who lists their products through Amazon. They're cutting ties because California passed and Jerry Brown signed a bill that they would have to pay 7.25% sales taxes. Governor Brown was kind of calling Amazon's bluff because I saw articles about this that were many months old where Amazon said that they would do this, but it didn't work. So there could be layoffs of thousands of people. I don't think that's what California needs now. Some people like it. The stores with bricks and mortars have complained that it's hard to compete with internet purchases where, in general, there's no sales tax. But regardless of the issue, when you raise taxes, sometimes the ones that you tax will take their marbles and go play someplace else.
Yeah, we've seen that time and time again.
And we've all heard the number, too, that the numbers at the top 2% of the country, the wealthy people, spend 33% of the money. So if we tax the wealthy even more, they may spend less. And one of the biggest drivers of the economy is consumer spending. So, and if we lost the mortgage deduction, that would be further harm to the economy.
We all just need to spend more, right?
I think so. We talked about the Laffer curve last week, that sometimes by increasing taxes, you reduce revenues. There's some number, and in the past, lower taxes have done a good job on increasing revenues.
But the only thing I'm worried about is consumerism is kind of what got us into all this.
Consumer spending?
Yes. Just spending, spending, buying, buying, buying.
Yes, and perhaps back to the housing, that we felt rich with all of this equity we had in our homes until that bubble, all the air got let out of it.
Yeah, now we're back to square one. Obama kept mentioning about corporate jets. Do you know anything about that?
Well, I think it's just more class warfare. And can you see the irony in this? He rides an Air Force One, paid for by, guess who, us, the taxpayers, while some business executives fly jets, of course, but they pay for it out of their own company's money. And as much as some of these CEOs get paid, if you broke that down to an hourly rate, I just assume they have their own jet than fly in coach somewhere in the back of a